What's up, everybody? Chef Marcus Samson. 50% of this moment, you know my partner, Jason Diakite. And today, it's a very special episode. Every episode is special, but today's one is very special. We're actually going to go to the border between Poland and Ukraine because my dear friend, Chef Mark Murphy, is there working with our friend, Jose Andres, amazing organization, World Central Kitchen. Let me tell you a little bit about Chef Mark Murphy. We came up same time, late 90s, early 2000s in New York City kitchens. He's always been a hardworking guy. We sat and judged him so many times from Chopped, and I don't think I've ever been as proud of Chef Mark as this moment where he just said, you know what, I'm actually going to leave my family for a while and just go in and do what I can to help out.
You're a chef. You understand. We always help people. We get out there. We help. And when this came around, I thought, you know what, God, I'm not sitting on the sideline. I'm going to go do something. So I called, I told my wife, told my kids, I said, I'm going to go to Poland. How long? I'm like, I don't know.
Chef Mark Murphy from Poland, about 20 minutes ride from the Ukraine border.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
How are you, Chef?
I'm good. How are you? It's nice to see a friendly face.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for your services. It's absolutely amazing. Where are you? And tell me a little bit, what does the day-to-day look like with World Central Kitchen in Poland where you are right now?
Well, I got here about a week ago. I've been working there for about a week at the kitchen. And it's like having I'm like a line cook again. I'm back on the stove, back on the grind. I get there anywhere between 7:30 and 8:30 in the morning, and I work straight through, usually till we're done, really, till either like 5:30, maybe even 7 o'clock. I'm living in an Airbnb about an hour and 20 minutes away. I'm straight down the border. I'm living in this little town. I can't pronounce any of the names of the towns because the Polish, but the kitchen, the World Central Kitchen, is in Przemysl, you know, Przemysl, Przemysl, or something. I don't know how to say something like that. So I go there every morning, and I drive right along the border. I'm probably, I don't know, like a 10-minute drive to the border of Ukraine. So I just get up. I go back and forth. I listen to music on the way to work. I listen to some music on the way back. I drive basically through the woods. It's like a little road. There's not much traffic. There's no cell phone connection, so I can't really talk to anybody on the way back and forth. But it's kind of meditative. And it depends. I have this Airbnb until the 30th. I'll see. I don't know if I think they're probably going to need me here longer. I don't know. So if I get my next Airbnb, I try to get a little closer to the kitchen,
a little closer,
a little less commute.
You get this news. I just saw you in Miami. We were there meeting Jose actually, and he was talking about World Central Kitchen. And that evening, Jose left to Poland and then eventually to Ukraine. When did you decide, like, hey, I can't sit on the sideline anymore? I gotta jump in.
Well, it was interesting because it was nagging at me. I had just done an event right before that in Tallahassee for a charity. And then, yes, we were in Miami together, and Jose had that meeting with all of us chefs there. And it was very powerful to me. And I just was sitting there reading the news every morning, and I just thought, I have to do something. I can't just sit here and not do something, you know? And, yeah. And I think we had a lot of conversations during COVID. You had a restaurant, you have a restaurant in Harlem. You were feeding many, many people.
Yeah,
I didn't have a restaurant anymore, which, you know, was actually a good thing for me financially, but I was, you know, had gotten my restaurants had closed before COVID, but, and I didn't feel like I could do anything. And then, and I remember when you started this podcast and I started listening to it, really, the impetus of it was, you know, the Black Lives Matter and all of that moment, right? This moment, this is what your podcast. And I was, I've been listening to your podcast, you know, pretty much all since you started. And I can still remember one night you were sitting in, I think on a window somewhere, and I was in my house and you were in your house. And I called you and I said, you know, I don't know what to do. I can't do anything. I don't know what I need to do. And I, you know, physically, you're a chef. You understand. We always help people. We get out there. We help. And when this came around, I thought, you know what, God, I'm not sitting on the sideline. I'm going to go do something. So I called, I told my wife, told my kids, I said, I'm going to go to Poland. How long? I'm like, I don't know until they need me. I don't know. I have no idea. And so I booked a flight. They were very supportive of it. I got on the plane and booked an Airbnb and got on the flight and here I am. And it was a little sort of, you know, it was quick. I had to, you know, I had to cancel everything. I actually had to call Bobby Flay or sent him a text. I said, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be on your show that you're taping, Beat Bobby Flay. I was going to be one of the co-hosts, you know, how that show works. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to Poland. He's like, oh my gosh, please don't worry about it. We'll find somebody else to do this, you know?
Yeah.
Basically cleared my schedule and I came here and I did not know what to expect at all. And I have, I've been overwhelmed by the outpouring of support, by the fundraising. My Instagram page, I put a thing for donate to World Central Kitchen. In like about 6 days, we raised $50,000.
Wow!
And the support from so many people. I put the little video that I did on my first time when I decided to come here. I did it when I got here. I got home that night to my Airbnb. And I was like, you know, worked my butt off all day. We cooked a lot of food. Well, you know how it is. You know, I went through service and I got home and there was over 1,000 comments in my Instagram. I started reading them and I was like, started crying. I was like, oh my God, it was so touching. It was so emotional for me. And I didn't know how I was going to be feeling about this. And it's still pretty overwhelming.
Mark, tell me about, so we know World Central Kitchen with Jose, you know, goes all over the world for these horrific events and incidents and war and stuff that happens all over the world. World Central Kitchen is there. We kind of know that by now, but what does it feel like when you work on the inside? Like, I remember when we worked in Harlem with them, like, we took personal pride in the food. We just cooked regular food. This is a very different situation. This is war. Right? How do you get the supplies? How do you guys cook it? Tell me a little bit about the workings.
First of all, you know, Jose's built quite a team, and it's amazing to see the whole operation happen. There's somebody who's at the front of the warehouse, the kitchen warehouse, that is getting orders and distributing it to where it's going to the train station, to which border crossing we're supplying a lot of different border crossings, and then we're getting in the kitchen. Okay, we need 1,000 meals. We need 1,500 meals. We need 500 meals. We need hot chocolate. We need this. So we're just making and giving, right? There is people here that are procuring the ingredients for us. There are people that are finding out and setting up partnerships and finding out where we can serve food. And then there's people that are just finding out if we can even serve food at certain, because it fluctuates very, you know, it's like, oh, we need 1,000 hot meals to this border crossing. Oh, they just closed the border. Nobody's coming through, right? Because it's a war, and I think that what they're learning and we're all learning together is this is very different than a hurricane. This is very different than COVID. You know, you saw you and, you know, handing food out to people in your neighborhood. it was pretty regular, right? You knew you were going to probably get 400, 500 people.
Exactly.
We are like, okay, we've got 6,000, we've got 15,000. I mean, the numbers are fluctuating tremendously. And I am basically the mentality of the way I am. I'm all about mise en place, right? I am like,
We're going French.
I braised in these huge ovens that they can control with steam. They're like they're combi ovens, basically a different brand, but different. And they're I basically did 250 kilos of beef cheeks today. I mean, so for me, it's like I got that, and then the volunteers are there. I've got them all set up. We're chopping it up. So I got the liquid. Right. So now what is that? That's ready to go. All I got to do is sweat off some onions, some garlic, some carrots, some peppers, get that going, put the beef cheeks, hit it with the water. I can either thicken it up with rice, with bulgur wheat, or with potatoes. I can have that done. You know, I could probably do it. You can get 1,500 people out. I mean, look, it's a big pot, so it still takes an hour and a half to boil. but it's as far as speed, we're trying to do. You know, we're just getting systems down and getting that done. And it's and to me, it's almost therapeutic. You know, as a chef, as a cook, you know, you got problems at home, you got problems, you go to work, and that's sort of what you do, right? You go to work, you just put your head down and you work, and at the end of the day comes, and you're like, I did something, and it feels good.
Where does the, because I mean, you're very fortunate, you're lucky, you grew up partly in Europe too, so you can speak Italian, you can speak fluent, you're fluent in French. Where does the volunteers come from? Are they mostly Polish? Are they coming from all over Europe? Just give us a little insight.
Well, the language is helping me a lot, because obviously I speak enough Spanish to be able to work in a kitchen in New York. So I speak plenty of Spanish to be able to speak. I've got Spanish people here. I've got French people here. There's some Polish people here. There are Americans here. There are Italians. There's people coming from everywhere. And it's like, it's interesting, because we almost sometimes at one moment you're like, wait, we have too many people. No, we don't. And people are coming and going. So it's like a staff. First of all, their hearts are huge. I mean, these people are coming here, spending either 5 days, a week, 2 weeks. They're coming just to work, and they will do anything. There's just such a willingness. Wow. And it's beautiful. The funniest, my, and of course now everybody in the kitchen realizes that I speak a fair amount of languages, and there's a lot of press coming through. And this is the one thing that I'm doing a fair amount of. You know, I did an interview with Anderson Cooper the other night on CNN, and to me, I find that the work I'm doing during the day is the physical cooking. But when I come home at night, I'm answering emails. I'm answering interviews. I'm doing a podcast with you.
Yeah.
It's so important to get the word out about what's going on and to talk to people. So I sort of feel like I'm still doing my, you know, my TV media world, and I'm able to do my cooking world, which I very much enjoy. And so for example, the other day, somebody from the office of the World Central Kitchen, they came up to me. I was actually putting huge pieces of, you know, of beef into these ovens. And they tapped me on the shoulder and said, wait, you speak Italian, right? I'm like, yeah. They go, there's an Italian television station here that would like to interview you about World Central Kitchen. I'm like, no problem.
Bring the American guy. Bring the American guy.
Let me just finish loading the ovens up, because that's going to cook for 2 hours, and then I'll do the interview and I'll come back. Fine, no problem. So, but nice. It's great to be able to be here and to be able to help.
Mm-hmm. Your oldest is in college. She's in New Orleans. Was she a sophomore or?
No, she's a freshman at Tulane. Yeah,
freshman. Yeah, but your youngest, you know, for him, it must have been like, dad is going to be gone, and he's not just gone on vacation; he's going to Poland. Like, how did you explain that? How did you guys talk about that?
Well, my son is 15 years old, and I now you're going to get me all teary-eyed here. You start talking about my kids, but they are extremely proud of what I'm doing. I think that this is it's a moment to teach your children. It's a moment to show them what people do.
Yeah.
Humanity.
Amazing.
It's, you know, I'm lucky. I have the time. I have the ability to come here and do this. I can stay for a month, maybe 2 months. And I have the ability to do that. I have the skills to be able to help run a kitchen or be part of a team that's running a kitchen. Because, you know, a lot of these volunteers that come are not chefs. So they're,
sure.
they're peeling potatoes. But you know what? You need to make sure we don't burn those potatoes so we don't waste them, right? We have to make sure things are done right. And you know, and recipes. And as you said, we care about the food. I want to make sure I'm tasting everything that's going out as we're cooking it. You know, seasoning has got to be right. You know, the stuff's got to be taste good. It's got to look good. You got to do the best you can. But, you know, you're
beautiful.
It's about dignity. You know, feeding these people is about it's I think Jose talks about it. It's a human right, really, to be able to have food. And and as chefs, we're in that kitchen. We should be making sure that we're making the best thing we can.
I always find it's funny when they call the politicians or people talks about cooks as low-skilled labor, right? And just think about what you just said there. You speak Italian, French, you're in Poland, you're volunteering during a war, you're like have emotional skills, social skills, but also the craftsmanship of cooking. So, yeah, not bad for a low-skilled labor cook from New York, you know?
Yeah, I might not have gone to college, but I went to the College of Life. And it's actually very interesting because there was a gentleman who I think is maybe a biologist, or he's a retired biologist. I think I was talking to him while I was doing something today. We were for many hours of doing one thing because that's what we do, a lot of one thing at a time. But he was very much complimentary. He goes, I never realized, you know, you chefs are so the organizational skills and the and the you know, like, for example, I was having them cut up these big pieces of meat the other day, and all these volunteers, and you walk around, I had 10 people with 10 cutting boards and 10 knives.
Yes.
And of course, I noticed, I'm like, okay, this is going to take forever. Nobody knows how to do this properly. So I stopped. I said, guys, 30 seconds. I don't mean to be bossy, but I just want to make your life easier. You know. First of all, raise your cutting board if you're tall so your back won't hurt, and slice it long, and then you're going to dice right down the middle.
Yes, and they chef.
And they're like, oh my gosh, thank you. This was you just made my life a lot easier. Because it's interesting because we take it for granted. You've been cooking for years, right? Mm-hmm. This is how you dice a pepper. We all know how to cut an onion, right? But as a person who's not a chef, it's like, oh wow, you just made my life a lot easier. Thank you. So it was really interesting. It was very complimentary, and I was very happy to get that compliment about that.
We all want to know. Give me a 3-day or 4-day span. What's on the menu? Because I know it's good food. Like, I know you're in there, and I know you're very stubborn. So you're not gonna leave until that stuff tastes good. You, when you cook something, you don't actually care at the moment, like whether you serve the royal family or whoever you serve. You just want to make the best meal possible.
Well,
so what are we cooking?
Well, here you go. The interesting thing is you know, it's not. It's also how we're cooking, because I'm testing things out too. Like, okay, can I put pasta with water in a steam oven and steam it? It's not working that way because it's cooking from the outside in. Not good. So can I cook pasta in boiling water and then put it into a sauce? No, I'm doing 100 kilos of pasta. That would be impossible, taking up too many burners, right? Can I make a very loose sauce with tomato and vegetables, put my pasta in that, cook it enough so it reduces, so maybe it's a little bit liquidy? But now you also have to remember, it's going to be more liquidy, and you have to cook it very al dente because it's going into these big cambros where we're putting about 100 to 150 portions, depending on the cambro. It's going to be in there for maybe an hour, maybe 3 hours. So it's going to continue cooking. It's going to continue absorbing the liquid. So you have to think of the process, and it's got to taste good, right? So that's one of the dishes we were doing, you know, tomato, vegetable, pasta. We had somebody must have donated a lot of bulgur wheat, which is great.
Yeah,
soak it overnight. I mean, this beef that I'm braising off in the oven, and I did a little because of course some of the chefs are Spanish, and because it's Jose Andreas, we're making sofritos because we start off with the onions, the garlic, and the peppers, and get that off. Put the meat in, and then depends on the vegetables that we have. We'll put some carrots, some celery, some, you know, celery root. We have a lot of celery root and carrots and peas. So we do that, and we'll finish it off. And because we soaked the bulgur, we can actually finish it off probably in like 20 minutes, just cook it really quickly at the end and serve it, which is great. And because you're doing such large pots, you don't want the stuff to stick to the bottom, right? So you want to put your starches in very carefully. Like if you're going to just do, I've also made one the other day with rice and I wanted to, you know, just to thicken it up with the rice for the starch. So that was always good. The other thing we had a whole, maybe even two tractor trailers of apples that came in. So we have been making applesauce and the kids are loving it at the train station, at the entry points.
Yes.
We're just cooking the apples down in the steam ovens and burr mixing them. And then we're putting them into little containers with a little World Central Kitchen thing on top of it. It's beautiful. We're making that. Oh, and the one of the chef, the other day, Carlos, she was making, and we had all these beets because we're here and there's beets. Yeah. So we basically made a beef, with a lot of beets, horseradish, and then pickles at the end. You know, it was a little bit of a borscht goulash.
A borscht. You know? Of course.
Look where
is it, Chef?
Of course.
Is it Chef Carla Hoyas, or who is it? It's Carla?
Carla, yeah. She was at the meeting. Do you remember her?
Yeah. Yeah, so no, I know Carla. I know her. She lives in Miami, and she speaks also like French and, of course, Spanish, and, you know,
absolutely.
She's super talented.
Yes,
but,
she's wonderful.
And I know there is a community. Like, I don't know what it looks like, but what you're talking about, you've created this kitchen feeling that we have in kitchen pretty quickly, right? Even in this is the darkest moments you can possibly think about, right? But you're doing something really positive. And I know that energy in there, you're not a laughing ha-ha, but you're having kind of a good spirit in there, right? What's the mood like?
Well, what as you know and I know, what is the best way to keep the spirits up? It's good family meal, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, today I found cases of frozen chicken kebabs. I got some cumin, some paprika, some salt, some pepper on those. Put a little oil. I've laid it on a bed of onions, and we put it into those ovens on high, dry heat. So I made these beautiful chicken kebabs, and we made that. And Carla actually made some nice rice and a nice bunch of vegetables. And everybody was like, "Oh, lunch is great!" You know, everybody stops for a half hour to have lunch.
Yeah.
And that's how you create a great community. And even I'm one of the guys who's helping translate. He speaks English and Polish with all the drivers and stuff. He goes, "I can't wait for lunch. Yesterday was so good. Today's going to be good too, right, Chef?" I'm like, "Absolutely. You know, got to make a good family meal."
No, that was one of the things that I really remember and enjoyed from when we were handing out the food. You create a real, they become your customers and you have a real dialogue. And someone says, "Chef, like the chicken and rice dish better than yesterday. How come we get apples today? We got oranges 2 days ago." And it was like this dialogue, right? And that's sometimes as chefs, that's all we want. We want a guest, we want a customer, we want a little bit of feedback. Right.
We're getting feedback from some places. We're getting from the front. They're like, they want roasted potatoes, or they want that pasta you made the other day.
Yeah,
you know, they're actually requesting. It's like it's great. It's fantastic because we're not just feeding at the entry points of the border or at the train stations where it's transient. Mm. There's also, and I've been to visit them. There's basically like I went to this one place. It's an old mall. I don't even know if it's an old mall, but it's a mall. Yeah. And I walked into this, and World Central Kitchen has a kitchen where we're serving food there. Every store in the mall is just full of beds.
Wow.
And then one store is a place with computers, and people are helping translate, try to connect people. There's plugs basically hanging out of the wall, and people are plugging their phones in to try to get power so they can try to connect with people. And there's children running around, and it is so heartbreaking to see this. And you think of the stories that are happening there. That's one, that's two, that's five. It's happening thousands of times a day here. It's just really, really quite shocking.
That was my question to you. Obviously, just like everybody else, I follow it on social media, I read in Times, you know, you just do the follow. But what is the on the ground news? What's the word? Are we getting closer to a resolution? What are people saying on ground? Because you're right there. You're on the border. That's very different than just catching it on an Instagram doing, for example.
Well, you know, they bombed probably like about, I don't know, 20 or 30 miles away from the border the other day, which is right pretty close to us. And the sentiment here is really, for us in this kitchen, because this is all I do. I go to work and I come out. I don't know. I'm living in a town with a church and a grocery store. There's no restaurants for me to go to, right? So I come home, cook myself dinner because I gotta get my sleep and stay healthy, right? Very important. It's basically for us. It's the only thing we're really worried about is, are the borders open? Are there a lot of people coming in? How many meals do we have to make? The sentiment amongst the Polish people that we're working with, it's just everybody's just heartbroken, and they're just everybody just hopes this ends. That's really what the real hope is here, and I think that everybody here is they know it's not doesn't feel like it's going to end anytime soon. I mean, this guy wants what he wants, and it's pretty crazy.
Here's a cool fact: a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Yeah. You know, I grew up in Sweden during the Soviet Union, and obviously Poland is much closer to Russia than Sweden, but you know, a lot of Swedes, majority of Swedes, a lot of people have summer homes, and it's not so much connected only to vacation. Very often there's a basement there, and in that basement it's filled with pickles, herrings, red beets, applesauce, you name it. And as a kid, we were filling our our basement with that stuff. And we drove it always from the city up to the summer house. And as a kid, I'm almost like, why are we saving all this food? And my dad always answered it with one line. It's if the Russians will come, right? And, you know, I'm a Swedish kid, like, you know, you're watching MTV, like you're almost living an American life, right, at that point, right? And I quite couldn't, you know, I was like 12, 13, couldn't quite understand it. But once you become like 15, 16, you kind of like, got it. And that fear, like I know a lot of my Finnish friends, that fear of living so close to Russia, you were always sort of like, one day they can just walk in. And it's such a big country. So there's very little those smaller countries right there could do. And Ukraine is a country of 40 million people. It's not a small country. It's a big country, you know, and still there's very, I mean, they've been absolutely amazing and heroic. But that fear that living close to Soviet Union, Russia, that they can overpower you and overtake and change. And the idea what immigrants are, refugees are, right? This image of what refugees are, it's not, no one asked to be a refugee. No one in the world asked to, like, they were working, they were living their normal life until one day they had to just pack a bag and just go as quickly as possible, right? So it humanizes this experience that is a very hard thing for, if it never happened to you, it's very hard to understand, right? And the one thing that you can always bring back with your family and talk about, this is not esoteric for the Murphy family anymore. This is real. Like, you can truly talk about it in an experience that it's life changing. You know, you will always be Mark Murphy, happy go fellow cook at every charity support. We know that, but there's, you're probably transforming a little bit as are doing this work.
No, I'm interested in seeing what happens to me in a certain sense I think, you know, every experience changes you. Every experience has something, and you know, we'll see. For now, this is the right thing for me to be doing. I'm in the right spot. I'm where I need to be, and that makes me feel good. And you know, as I was saying before, the work and also the outreach to the world through this social media, and getting, you know, raising money, and but also connecting with people. I had somebody, just a quick little story about a guy who's a chef in the United Arab Emirates who saw my Instagram post, went on my LinkedIn and wrote me an email, wrote me a note on LinkedIn saying, I am a Venezuelan chef in the United Arab Emirates. I got out of my country and I have a job and I'm happy here. I'm an immigrant and I have this wonderful, I can't leave, but my wife is Ukrainian and my 4-year-old daughter are in Ukraine. Can you help them if they get over the border near where you are? And he sends me their phone, the wife's phone number, the daughter and the wife's passports, pictures of them. And I said, of course, I'm working here at this place. I'm near this border crossing. I'm also down south near another border crossing where I'm living. I said, anything you need, I'll drive and pick them up from the border and get them to a train or get them to a hotel or get them to an airport. And he was, you know, thankful. He's like, chef, supporting each other. Thank you so much, chef, and blah, blah. And literally, like, about maybe 12, 18 hours later, I get a message, chef, I'm so happy to report that my wife, I finally got in touch with her. She came out of the border in the northern part, and she got a train and went to a major city and is now on the airline. And he sent me a picture of his daughter listening to music and dancing, and she said, my daughter's happy now, thank you.
I was like, wow. No, it's a lot of emotions there. Also, I mean, my last thing, this is all happening during COVID, right? So it's like, there's all these things extra, you know, like there's so many things going on, but you are exactly where you need to be, and we appreciate everything that you're doing. I know there's World Center Kitchens set up throughout Poland.
In Ukraine, in Romania, there are other places. And you know, there's talk a lot about, I don't know what's going to happen, but Warsaw and Krakow, there's so many refugees there now. I think the Polish government is doing everything they can, but it's millions of people just all of a sudden. It's like inviting guests over and all of a sudden the city comes over. It's crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. And Chef Mark Murphy, you obviously a very, very dear friend. Stay safe. We really appreciate everything you're doing. And thanks to you and everybody that works at World Central Kitchen. Where should people go and support and tell us where can they go and follow and support?
Well, WCK.org is worldcentralkitchen.org. I'm sure there's a button to donate there somehow. Yeah.
Tell me your Instagram.
All my social handles are @ Chef Mark Murphy.
Okay, great. At Chef Mark Murphy. We're going to follow you, and we appreciate everything they're doing. We'll talk soon, Chef. Thank you so much.
I love you, brother. Love you.
Love you, man. Peace.
Peace.
I just want to take a moment to say thank you to all the volunteers for World Central Kitchen and all the work that you do, Chef Jose Andres, that spearheaded this incredible organization, and also Chef Mark Murphy. Stay safe. We love you, and I can't wait to talk to you soon, whether that's on another Zoom call or to see you here in New York City. Thank you for all that you do. Hit us up on Instagram at This Moment Podcast and thismomentpodcast@gmail.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.